I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories.
Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. This week, I welcome Donna Bond to Dreams and Detours. As a catalyst for soul-centered transformation, Donna believes when we do the work to trust and love our higher human self, the ripple effect changes the world. I couldn't agree more. Donna is a spiritual advisor, business and life coach, and author of Original Wisdom, Harness the Power of the Authentic You. Donna assists clients around the globe to transform their lives using the principles of spiritual psychology. I had the great pleasure to both share and learn about the magical wisdom that comes from surrendering in life. As you'll hear in our conversation, no matter where you are on your own path to greater personal wisdom, each shift and gentle tweak lights up another part of your being. Please welcome Donna Bond.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here, Donna. You have no idea. I have been digging into your book. It traveled with me, so that was good. If you don't mind, I really want to start off with something here. I want to read something, okay? It's chapter 9, The Alchemy of Fear. As you learn to trust the unknown, life resolves itself effortlessly and beautifully, and a natural process of deconditioning takes place inside you. That is a quote that you wrote at
Richard Rudd.
That's right.
Richard Rudd. I know. When I read that, Susan, it stopped me in my tracks quite literally. Mm-hmm. Richard Rudd channeled the transmission of the gene keys. If you're familiar with the gene keys.
I'm not familiar with him, but his quote stopped me in my tracks. And all I could think about was the moment in time when I understood why, not just why, but the essential and immediate need to surrender to life. It brought me right back to that moment. And that was the most pivotal. I've gone through so much healing and there's been so much change and I've had so many like interesting forks, but that was the most pivotal moment in my life of really starting on a journey that would change and be different than any other. So that really stuck out to me.
Yeah. Well, he is a luminary for sure. He is a mystic of our time. And I mean, just sitting in the man's presence on the internet waves is amazing. And the gene keys took the I Ching, you know, the 5,000-year-old Chinese call.
Yes.
And married it with human design and astrology. And was birthed the gene keys. And the gene keys, as he describes it, is the code that is ready to be unlocked in our DNA to guide us towards our purpose. And each gene key has three levels to it. It has a shadow, a gift, and something called the city, SIDDHI, which is like highest expression of something. I talk about entelechy in my book, and that's like the highest, fullest realized expression of what we've come here to be in our life. Each of us has an entelechy. So Richard Rudd refers to it as the city in the gene key. Basically, he says we don't have to do anything to move ourselves through these differences. It's a natural phenomenon that occurs as our vibration.
It's just like, just surrender to it all. It's like almost like floating, right? It's the same phenomenon of floating.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I just love that. And I love knowing and feeling and experiencing the vibration on the planet. Rising, raising, literally witnessing people who are waking up before my eyes.
Right.
And
you're paying attention and doing work like you're doing. You absolutely can see that. I see that.
I bet.
Yeah. Sure. It's very cool.
Yeah. So anyways, we pay homage to Richard Rudd. He's amazing.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for quoting him.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, I'm like, I hope she doesn't mind, but I want to start right there. And I want to tell
I hear
her
you.
Because,
yes.
You know, really what you've done is you've written a book that really is a tool for those who have been awakened to this idea that there is more and that they are feeling either desperate, curious, or just hungry enough to explore. And those three words might feel like the same, but they actually are very different in terms of an experience for the individual. Desperate can be pain, or it could be like the end of the line of anxiety or not knowing which way to turn and just simply not having a definition for anything happening around you. And please, 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 which way should I turn? And curious is always like, you know, there could be a quietness to curiosity, but open-heartedness. So that's there too.
And then hungry enough.
And hungry is like when you're like, yes, like you're on that path and you're like, give me more. Like I'm a word person. So when you put out the word, Entelechy, is that how you say
Entelechy.
It? I was like, woof, I just like you, I was like, I wrote that down and I'm like, I need to work that in or I need to keep it over here because I like words. I love words.
Actually. May I tell you a story about that word?
Yes, please.
The word found its way to me in the most auspicious way. So I had gone to the University of Santa Monica on the advice of a psychic. I enroll myself in this program in spiritual psychology. I'm a corporate marketing executive. I'm working a 60-hour a week gig. And on the advice of a psychic, I like enroll myself in this program. And the original program was 2 years. And I was complete, right? At the 2 years, I was done. Probably 6 months before the completion, I was reading Jean Houston's book, The Wizard of Us. And I'm in bed and I come across this word, entelechy. And I get out of bed to like look it up because I had never seen it before. I had never heard of it before. There's something about this. It's got like some energy and some resonance. The next day, I have this. It's in my horoscope. What?
What?
Like it's written in my horoscope. And I'm like,
really?
Come on. It's a little weird. Well, things always happen in threes. And the next day after that, I received like the monthly newsletter from the University of Santa Monica, and there it is again. And Dr. Mary Holnick is talking about entelechy. So this happens, right? It's like boom, 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 literally 3 days in a row. At this point, I don't really make any sense of it, but I've parked it, you know, like
it's
parked.
Know the importance of that.
So for sure.
Yes.
Yes. That's like direct connect with spirit for me.
100%.
So fast forward, it's the end of the 2-year program at the University of Santa Monica, and they're doing their rollout for the extension of the master's, which is in consciousness, health, and healing. And I'm like, yeah, I got 28 years of experience. Like, I don't need any more. I'm good. And as they're unfolding the different classes, all of a sudden, Dr. Mary Holnick says, oh, my favorite class is called entelechy.
No way. I love this.
So at that moment,
okay.
I surrendered. What do? You surrender. I surrendered. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm going for year three. Right.
So is that what it was? It was an extra year for you to further, I guess, enhance the degree that they had given you. It's an additional certification and another pathway. Okay.
Yeah, it's just like an adjunct onto the master's,
which
I had my biggest breakthroughs. I had my biggest ahas.
Yeah.
And that was absolutely an act of surrender. And, you know, I am so grateful because the universe unfolds for me these really like undeniable poster boards that fall out of the sky and hit me in the head just to make sure that I am paying attention.
And that you are staying on your path.
Yeah.
See, I lived a life of brick wall. I needed to hit it 1,000 times, actually, maybe 10,000. I don't know. But whatever it is, I was born with a tremendous amount of sensibility inside and a lot of gifts. I knew this as a child, actually. I could feel and sense things, and I knew things, you know, the knowing, the clairs and everything. Mm-hmm. I had all of that, but I still, because of my atmosphere and environment that I was raised in, it didn't set me up or position me to really work through or to utilize those skills. It would actually cover them and send me down a different path. So I got to hit a lot of brick walls, unfortunately, but it's all good. It's okay. Because like you, I have always, I look at things that are happening. I pay close attention now more than ever, of course, but even in my adult, young adult life, I was not unaware of the signs.
Right. Yeah.
It's very important to pay attention. Yeah.
It is. And I, you know, I was noticing the quote on your podcast webpage today, get out of your head, back on course to a more fulfilling life. And I want to talk about this with you.
I want to talk about that too, because you know what that is? And that, and I'll tell you, for me, it was because I lived in my head. I dreamt, I wanted, I intellectualized, I learned, I healed on an intellectual level, but I didn't heal on a cellular level because I didn't understand what that meant until it was introduced to me when I thought I had done the work. And I'm like, why do I feel like shit? And why am I still angry? And why can I not move forward? So I want to talk about that because you talk about it in your book and you're very, very like intentional about talking about actions. And I love how when you are writing your book, you put exercises at the end of all of your chapters because you're offering up an opportunity to take that material, you know, that is digested and for more thought to be put into it. But you also want people to activate on it. It's like, don't just sit in the knowing, use it, make it real and use it in your life so that you're actually making the changes that you're discovering about yourself. So yes, let's talk about that.
Well, you know, when we're locked in our head, and I was raised very much, right, sort of the same way, you've got to rely on your intellectual intelligence. You got to know the answer. You got to have all your shit together all the time, 24/7. And, you know, you don't go anywhere, show up, make a mistake, right? Like, you got to know. You got to have it all here.
That's right.
And, you know, it was really actually Dr. Robert Holden who lifted my awareness around this idea that we have all these other intelligences, right? We have emotional intelligence, which is sort of making its way now into the mainstream business world. And people are beginning to pay more attention to the information that we can receive from our emotional body, right? And that our emotional body has to go through, I don't even know what the right word is, a cleansing process, a healing process in order for us to get to a place of wholeness, right? But then we also have our physical intelligence, which is speaking to all of us 24/7, but most of us, we ignore it, we deny it, because it's not existing.
But it's very chaotic. I think that's also why. I think it's because we live in a world that's chaotic. So our physical senses and intelligence are combating so much as well as taking in so much. And I think that it becomes hectic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then of course we have spiritual intelligence, right? And this is what I'm all jazzed about.
Me too.
Spiritual intelligence, right? We have this wisdom, this bank of wisdom inside of us, our original wisdom that is always available. Always available in the now moment.
People used to say to me when I was spinning as a young adult, you know, in my anxiety and in my stuff, just if you could just get quiet, it will all come to you. And I remember as a young person, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, I was spinning so fast and I was at such a crazy level of nuttiness and not being able to decipher or hear anything. I, for the life of me, was like, what are they talking about? It took me a long time to, because there weren't resources that I was able to capture and grab onto at that moment to help me make sense of what that meant. But it's true. It's all part of surrendering. And it's if you just get quiet and get still, it sort of just starts to naturally occur. So,
yeah. But you did always know.
I did.
Right? Because you had said earlier, right? Yeah. That you clairs from a young age.
Yeah.
You know, these are all these different ways that spirit is working through us, trying to get our attention, animating our physical being, animating our imagination, our mental capacities. So it's like, we always know. We
I was desperate.
Always know. Yeah. I get it.
I was that version. Yeah. No, it's interesting, right? How you're depending on how bogged down and layered you are, you do always know, but like how much do you have to like take off of yourself in order to like have it come up and be revealed, you know? So,
right. Well, that's different for all of us.
Yes. That's the journey, of course. Yeah. Yeah. How fascinating. So I love the exercises. I think they were, you know, pretty strong. Like I like that sort of thing. I'm a doer. So like, to me, I think bringing it to a place where people can digest and they can either journal or speak out loud in some cases, the effort and the learning. I see power in that. I know what that power is like, you know, and I love all of the amazing people that you've quoted, even throughout, because those are people that I think are brilliant and special. And sometimes, you know, that will resonate with your reader, of course, anything from Joe Dispenza to Gary Zukav and Carolyn Mace, which super special. And I'll share something with you. And this is why, another reason why, and if anyone's, you know, anyone to the listeners, the reason why utilizing an exercise at the end, especially the sacred truth activation, like being able to verbalize things out loud. I'm listening to watching an old video of Carolyn Mace's. She was talking to a small group in Canada years ago. She put it on her website and I'm listening to this recording. And she came up with this, this prayer that she offered to the people in the audience. And she's like, you know, you could just say this when you go to bed at night. And she offered up a prayer and I listened to it. It wasn't too long, but it was really special. And I start and stop and start and stop. I'm writing it down. Well, don't you know, for the last like maybe 8 years or so, that's been in my bedside table. And actually it took a little while, but I then would be able to recite it without looking at the paper, but I would say it every night. And in the beginning, I said it in my head. I just said it silently and in my head. It was good. I was glad. I was like, oh, I'm reading this. It feels good. But for some reason, and I have my angels, like I've got mine that hover me all the time. And so I got this message and it was like, you need to say that out loud, Suze. You need to actually say it out loud. And so I started doing that. I was like, oh, okay. It was a little weird at first. I was like, really? And I was like, I'm just going to bed. Like, but I had to start saying it out loud. I don't know how to say this to someone who's not necessarily on this path yet. It's a game changer.
It's a game changer.
Yes. When you put it out there and you verbalize it like out loud, it's a game changer. Yeah.
Yeah. In part. Part of the reason why that is.
Tell me.
Is because we're now activating the vibration of it. Right. And Carolyn Mace talked about this all the time. Words have power.
Yes.
Words have frequency. And so when we are mingling with these higher frequencies, then we transform our physicality. We open our heart. We feel the alignment with our authentic self, which is this high, high frequency of loving. And so when we're riding on those waves, in a sense, we feel amazing. We feel expanded. We feel exalted, exaltation. It's like all the things that we're searching for in the physical world, chasing all these things that we think are going to bring us joy and peace and happiness, right? Those are all the things that are naturally inside of us. Mm-hmm. And when we can begin to speak out loud the words that are the derivatives of the authentic part of ourselves, then we're a match to that.
I fully agree with you. And I feel like it opens up our hearts and it opens up all of the channels to bring all of that in, all of the love and all of the blessing that is a part of it. I absolutely believe that. Yeah. It changed me. Yeah. And I thought that was really cool. So I love when you talk about that.
Well, I just want to acknowledge you talking about the opportunities for transformation at the end of each chapter, because for a very real way in my own life, you know, I have been a spiritual seeker since I was 12 years old. If you could see all the books in this office, like I've read all, and nothing in my life really began to change until I was willing to get out of my comfort zone and to try out some of these things.
So let me ask you a question about that, though.
Experiment.
Let me ask you a question about that. So I did, you know, in reading your book, I did see that you had made a comment that you had been, you know, from a young age, you'd been a spiritual seeker. You had an interest in the whole metaphysical world. And that was something that was a part of you and an interest. Do you think as a, well, it's not about your age so much, but do you think that when you were coming up in your life and you had all of that interest and then you have a career path, did you think that when we experience that we just see those things as very different? Like we don't see that as being a part of our purpose in our day-to-day life. So we create a career over here, hence you did that too. And we travel down 100%. This path thinking, well, this is my day job, you know, quote unquote day 100%. Job. And then this over here is where I practice other parts of me that are private or that do other things for my world. And we don't recognize that those need to actually come together until, of course, we are melting down for at some point in time. We've all done
it. We realize we only have so much time left.
That's it. The bandwidth is only so big.
There's a Howard Thurman quote, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, okay. But it's like something to the effect of do what brings you to life. Like, do whatever's going to make you come alive, because what the world needs is people who are come alive.
Right.
And we have completely overlooked that in our, you know, intellect. We find that that's not logical, that is not practical. And so we have all these belief systems that work against really following your heart opening joy that is moving life through you, which really, hey, by the way, is the whole point of this game.
Isn't it though?
The whole point. Yeah.
Right. But that's why I love the whole idea that everyone is entitled to joy and everyone is entitled to happiness. And it's a part of like life. It's a part of your birthright of being here. It is the point of being here. You know what I mean? So yeah. And I just think that maybe people, if they saw that part of themselves and realized that doesn't mean that everyone has to be a coach in that field or has to be a speaker in that field. It's certainly awesome the deeper you dive in, if that's what you want to do with it. But it's just, even if that's how you create your foundation in your own life, then whatever you do, if it's coming out of that, what I like to, you know, I look at it as the energy source, essentially. It's like you've created your own energy source. And if everything you do from there, whatever that is, and it can certainly be anything, but if you're doing it from the right energy source and you're utilizing the right tools and the connection to the universe and the connection to people and the connection to all, I just think the experience becomes more of what it's supposed to be and less of what it isn't, you know, supposed to be. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we won't burn out. Not that way. Not that way anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. So another area, because I can't help but keep referring back to the book, you know, but it really is everything that you have been working so hard on, I know, because it's a massive sort of description of the journey and things that you've uncovered and the things that you utilize. Oh, I don't know. I am. Do you know what the I am chapter reminded me of? It reminded me of, I don't know if you know this book by David Hamilton, How Your Mind Can Heal Your Body.
No.
So he's a really cool guy. I pulled it out. Joe Dispenza writes a little quote on it. It just says, this book will teach you that healing by thought alone is not only possible, but it is a reality. And I thought, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. And I follow this guy, David Hamilton, on Instagram. So he'll post videos and different things now and again. And I just think he's pretty cool. But I like the power of that. So I, you know, picked up the book. Of course, I'm not done reading it, but I'm getting through it. But your chapter that speaks to I am, I would love for you to talk a little bit about that, because I saw your history and I saw the things that you've experienced in your life. I read through it anyway. And I love the idea of utilizing, you know, our own power to declare, you know, really who we are and what we are and how powerful that can be, not just in healing ourselves. I mean, certainly if that's needed, but also in maintaining and just declaring ourselves. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that is what gave me such a powerful revelation about those two words, is that no one else can say them on your behalf.
Right.
And it really is a declaration. It's a recognition. And so, you know, I teach a lot about how we wrap up negative, self-sabotaging statements two little words all the time. And we walk around and say, you know, I am tired, or I am unhappy, or I am, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. And we are creating the energetic blueprint to what's going to happen next every time we do that. And again, this brings us back to the intentionality and the consciousness around our word choices and how important they are. And, you know, I tell a story in the book about my frozen shoulder. And my coach said to me, you know, like, well, when are you going to take responsibility for your own health? And I was like, you know, F you, what are you talking about? Like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing physical therapy, I'm seeing all the energy healers. What do you mean? Like, when am I going to take responsibility? And she's like, yeah, when are you going to own your own radiant health? And then all of a sudden it like dawned on me. And this is the power of the reclamation of these two words. So I began affirming, even though it did true at the time, I began affirming, I am radiant health. I am the epitome of well-being. I am flexible. I am strong. I am healthy, right? Like, I kept saying these things and I said them out loud too, Susan, just, you know, right? I said them out loud.
Yes.
Because when you say them out loud, then you're sending that frequency and that message out into the universe.
That's right.
And the universe is like, oh, hey, we're getting an order here. So this is what I think people overlook, is from the soul perspective, the soul has no judgment. The soul sees everything as it is. So because we are all powerful creators and that we are creating in every moment, when the universe hears, like, I am exhausted, I am tired, I am fed up, universe gets to work. Hey, let's get her a little bit more exhausted. Let's get her a little bit more fed up. We gotta give her what she's asking for, because that's what she's creating right now. And I really see it this way. I really see it this way.
And I agree with you, because if you're going to put it out there that I am all of these negative things, then you sure as heck better put out verbally the positive stuff when you need to turn it around or when you're looking for a better pathway. You must verbalize it the same way that you complain. You have to praise yourself. It's the same thing. And you're right. The reason that it does escalate further is because you're putting it out there and you're asking for it, which, you know, we always hear these expressions like, be careful what you ask for, you know, that whole thing. But it's the truth. It's like, the more that you make those comments and it's almost like you're praying on it. It's like those are your daily prayers when you complain. People don't see it that way, but that's exactly what it is. It's almost like, well, you are going to get that because that's what you're putting out into the world. So you do have to be careful. And I love, you know, I've done a couple of episodes really short, like words matter. Words matter. It's not just how we speak to other people. It's how we speak to ourselves. It starts there, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. And let's just take it even to the thought level, right? Because our thoughts matter.
Oh, yeah.
The thoughts in our own mind matter, whether we're having negative ideas about ourselves or we're having negative ideas about other people. We are transmitting that frequency the minute that we're mingling that. And so I think, you know, the tall order here and where the I ams can really be a pivoting tool for transformation, which is how I see them, is taking more dominion over our consciousness. You know, we are patterned creatures. We love our zone of familiarity and getting on autopilot because it's nice and safe, comfortable, easy. Course, we stay there over time, we're going to die, but that's a whole nother conversation. But it's like, we've got to catch up and act when we are participating in these damaging, negative, self-sabotaging habits.
Yes.
They are. They're habits.
Yes.
Our negative thoughts and our negative word choices, they're just habits.
And there's a lot of laziness in there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because we get really comfortable. Don't do the exercises.
Right. We get comfortable with the discomfort. I just talked about this. I'm like, the more you live a life of unhappiness and in a toxic environment or just unhealthiness, your body and brain become conditioned and that's your new norm. And it becomes even harder to get out of that. It's laziness. And it's just that like, I don't feel like it. No. You better feel like it because it's going to be a game changer for you. Otherwise, this is it actually, you know?
So let's make a little bit of room for laziness in the sense that when we are relentless and brutal with ourselves, and when we are critical of ourselves, we're not going to get a response that we really like or that we're really looking for. And, you know, I have to attribute this to the University of Santa Monica again, because being gentle with ourselves is a game changer. And it was a game changer for me. And it was not something that was ever even in my sphere. Like, I grew up with tough love, right? You know, put on your big girl panties. You better get your act together and, you know, shut up and show up and all of that, like, really forceful, hard way of being in the world, which over time, very painful. Over time is not going to invite us to grow. When I began to be more gentle with myself, more accommodating myself, more tolerable with myself, it was then that I began to, I don't want to say exceed my expectations, but I began to really experience lasting change. Because I'm celebrating my successes instead of beating myself down for my failures.
And you could recognize the difference of the feeling. Let's face it, when you gave yourself a little more room to be human or a little more time to accomplish whatever you were looking to accomplish, you're like, oh, like, it doesn't have to be so rough. It doesn't have to be so tough. And I don't have to be like a razor blade to myself and my own life. I can just really chill and maybe even enjoy the process a little bit. That's always an eye opener too, you know?
Always an eye opener.
Yeah. And then of course, you know, the more you want that and do that for yourself. And I think, and this happened to me, I started to recognize like what a bitch I was potentially outside like myself. I was like, wow, well, if I'm this tough on myself, I wonder how I've been coming across to others. In my heart and inside, I never meant to be that way. I didn't actually think or feel that way. But in my delivery, I'm pretty sure I did not deliver well. I'm pretty sure that I was had edge that didn't belong in the places I put it. Let's put it that way. I really didn't have a right actually to say the things or to, with the intonation, you know, with that whole forcefulness. I'm pretty sure that that is what it looked like and sounded like to others. So, yeah.
I hear you. Really hear you.
It's a little embarrassing and shameful, but you have to forgive yourself also and get past that too, you know?
Yes, 100%. I have like a, you know, big, passionate personality that can oftentimes come across that way. So I really resonate with what you're sharing.
And you are also like, you're a high level executive. So no doubt having, you know, a lot of people reporting and rolling up to you. I mean, that alone from a stress perspective and from, you know, the expectation of a large organization, and being that is inevitable that it's not like we're trying to shut down the poll or anything, but it can happen. And it certainly isn't, you know, the plan, but it, for some, that might be how they took or felt in a given situation. And, you know, it's just about, it's about waking up. So
that was really modeled for me too.
You know,
I was in a boys' club and I was trying to be one of the boys. Right. And so that was my best attempt at being one of the boys, was to be forceful and hard, edgy, and mean sometimes, Yeah, I mean, it's kind of extraordinary when I think back on, you know, how I was relating to the world then and how I relate to the world today.
And you know, I know for me, like when I look back, I almost can feel the physical like puff of it in my chest and the feeling in my body. And I'm like, oh my God, like I don't even breathe the same way anymore. I don't have that physical, emotional, spiritual experience anymore. Not the vibe around me and not the one inside me. Like none of that looks anything like that part of my life back then. And I know you have that same experience. There's no way you can get to this point and not have shed all of that. And there's so much relief in where we are now.
So much relief.
God. Right?
It's comical, right? People are like, what are they talking about?
I know.
Yes. There's so much relief.
I'm okay with this episode being for people who actually understand what we're talking about. And for those who aren't, I say stay curious and, you know that original wisdom by Donna Bond is out there and it's for you. And you know, well, there you have it. There's a lot to be said about digging into new material and kind of elevating your game. So,
yeah. Thank you.
Now that you have, you know, obviously you're time at the university is behind you. You know, you've been working in your field and also you pivoted into a coaching position. So I got the feeling that that wasn't necessarily the role you were planning to play once you finished the 2-year program, which then turns into a third year. And I recall the story.
Which then turned into a fourth year.
Did it? So I recall the story of like how coaching came into play with your friend, Nicola.
Yes, Nicola.
Right. But talk to me a little bit about what were you really like? You left a high powered career and you were going into this coursework. What were your thoughts? Like, what did you think that you were going to come out of this and use it for or do with it? Like, where did you start versus where you ended up kind of?
Susan, I know this is so irresponsible, but I had no idea.
No, it's not irresponsible.
I had no idea. I was like, you know, I'm blowing tens of thousands of dollars here on this education that I truly had no clue what I was going to do with it. And it wasn't even something that I could see clearly that I thought was for other people. Like, I couldn't see it at all. So when I stepped down from my role, and I can tell the story about being on the airplane, if that's what you're
sure.
Wanting me to share. But when I stepped down, I hung out a shingle as a marketing consultant. And really, it was more about alleviating the pain of the confines of corporate America. Like, I had to get out. I just reached that breaking point where I couldn't be there anymore. Like, my spirit was dying, quite literally was dying. And so I was towards the end of my first year at the University of Santa Monica, and I'm reading Ken Robinson's book, Finding Your Element. And I had a lot of help for this book because I had been looking for my element right since I was 16 and I hadn't found it yet. So I thought, you know, maybe I'll find it in this book. Well, I'm on like the last 3 pages of this book, and I'm no closer to finding my element than I was, you know, when I started the book. And I'm reading a passage where he's talking about how most of us play it safe in life. We cling close to the shoreline, right? We don't venture out into the ocean. And he uses Mark Twain, 20 years from now, you're going to be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the things that you did do. So throw out a line. And sail away from the safe harbor, explore, dream, discover. So as I'm reading this, like all of a sudden, I'm getting real with myself and recognizing how I am playing it safe, like how I've played it safe my entire life. Mm-hmm. And then there's a Ralph Waldo Emerson quote where he says, what lies behind you and what lies before you are tiny matters compared to what's within you. And then I was like, oh, something here. And I could feel the emotion like beginning to build inside my chest. And then I get to the tiny little eight liner by Elizabeth Pell called Risk. And then the day came when the risk to remain tight in the bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. And when I was sitting on that airplane, I had a frozen shoulder and I was in so much pain. And so my shoulder felt that bud. Like it was just such the perfect metaphor for that bud. And I don't know, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything lined up. I was given a dose of divine guidance in that very moment. And I suddenly had complete clarity. And it didn't matter that I didn't have a plan. It didn't matter that I didn't know what I was going to do or where I was going to. I knew somehow, you know, I'm resourceful and smart and I'll figure it out. But in that moment, I was absolutely clear that I leave that job. And in that moment, I decided. I absolutely decided. And then the story gets even more fun because I was on my way to the Ritz-Carlton Global Leadership Conference. And this is, you know, annual sort of strategic meeting and a networking event where typically I would be in the front of the room taking copious notes on all the new strategies I'm going to implement when I get back to my hotel. None of this is happening. Before I left, my husband and I were reading Pam Grout's book, E-Squared, 9 do-it-yourself experiments that prove that your thoughts create your reality. And really on a whim, I had said to the universe before I left on this trip, I said, bring me an apple. It was very random. It was very, I had no attachment at all, whatever, an apple. I just said, bring me an apple. I'd forgotten about it, you know, get on the plane. I had experience. I go through this meeting. It's the very last night of like the 4-day event and typical Ritz-Carlton style, beautiful 5-course dinner with wine pairings. And my name was called to the stage where I was the recipient of the Western Regional Marketing Achievement Award for the 3rd consecutive year in a row. And so I had retrieved the award and I'm walking back to my table with this award in my hand. And I'm now even more confident in what happened on the plane, right? Like I have no idea where I'm going or what I'm going to do. I know that it's time to get off of this stage, right? Like it's time.
You're going to leave on a high note.
This career.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I sit back down at my table where they have just served. And, you know, I would have missed this if we had been at any other brand than the Ritz-Carlton. But the Ritz-Carlton, they create these menu cards. So I had this beautiful dessert before me. But I look down at the menu card and it says that the dessert is apple sorbet with green apple confit and apple something or other, right?
Yeah, like it was a complete apple.
Like 4 different ways. Wow. It was a complete apple. And I just sat there and I looked around the room and there's like hundreds of people in this room. And I thought, no one would even believe me if I
this
told
is
them.
Like the most hilarious thing, you know? Because I'm alone right now. That's how you must have felt. Like no one could possibly know.
No one could possibly know.
That had to have been like your break at that point. Just the knowing, it's like you don't need anything else. Like there was no other sign that you needed. The neon
That's
flashing
right.
sign was right there.
That's right. And in that moment, Susan, I recognized my own power as a creator, my own power as, you know, the universe in motion.
And you hadn't even started your program yet. This was just you.
Well, I was a year in.
Okay.
But even still, I mean, it's kind of a fair statement to say I hadn't started the program yet because given what I went on to learn and to move through and grow through, Yeah, it was definitely the very, very beginning.
But
of
you
the
were
show.
tapping into your sources and into your gifts. And so at least it was making sense to you in that moment. It wasn't more like, oh my God, what does this mean? It was more like you were being led down a path that you were just sort of starting to go on. And you're like, ooh, this means I need to go further, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was an invitation.
Yes.
It was an invitation for sure.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, I resigned my position. I hung out a shingle as a marketing consultant, which also turned out to be a really important learning piece of the story for me in the work that I'm doing now, because, you know, we get so hung up on success or failure. Was it a success or was it a failure? I got the firsthand opportunity to really upgrade my definition of failure.
Right.
To feedback, right? Like, this is just feedback that we're getting from the universe. And I think part of me knew that I was going to do this consulting gig for a little while, you know, but it wasn't the end all. And I was really willing to be in the divine unknowing. Mm-hmm. You know, I was willing to walk in the dark. And this is another piece of the puzzle, I think. You know, people always want to know how many steps it's going to take for me to get there, how it's going to take, what's going to be the return on the investment. I want to know every move, every right and left turn, every way, every roundabout. Give me the map. And when we surrender to our soul, those things that I just described are concerns of the ego. And the ego doesn't get to know.
There are no more analytics.
The ego doesn't get to know.
There are no more analytics. Can I tell you that alone for me, the whole idea of not being responsible for the bottom line when I left my 20 plus year career in, you know, a revenue driven capacity, I was like, no more analytics. You may not look at every step and everything I do and like measure. No, I want nothing to do with that anymore. There's no measurement here. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, so it's I took one step and the next step would be illuminated. And this is critical. And, you know, here's the other thing is we want the universe to make the first move, but that's not really how it happens. We have to make the first move. We have to get out of our comfort zone and went even just a little bit. It can only be just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're willing to get out just a little bit, then the universe will make the next move.
Do you know what
You've
I call that, Donna?
The first one.
I say that if you're willing to get on the magic carpet, the universe will take you on a ride.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But I love it.
You have to be willing to get on. You have to be willing to get on. And then it all happens. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. It's so much more exciting than like regular physical world reality. So boring and regimented.
Isn't it great? I know. I mean, it hasn't been always, you know, there's always give and take and there's stuff that you have to then, you know, like I know for the financial end of it, you know, you have to work through a plan to make things come alive and to bring it all together. But I'd much rather put my efforts and energies into doing it for me and doing it with purpose than doing it in a capacity that never served me anyway. So yeah.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what does life look like? What are your gifts and how are you using them in life today? What does life look like for you now in terms of the way in which you're bringing all of that goodness to others?
Oh, I love that question. Mm-hmm. So it's really about being a channel for the divine. That's it. That's the whole everything. It's getting myself out of the way and allowing myself to be an instrument for a higher power, or a higher power that's a lot smarter than me, you know, through the tools of spiritual psychology, which really is technology. There's so much freedom that is available to the recipient, you know, to anyone seeing life as being for us.
Right.
And, you know, I just hold a safe, sacred, loving space for people to try on new outfits themselves, you know, for people to try a new idea and then maybe lean into that idea a little bit more enthusiasm or a little bit more energy to test out some new thinking, some new mindset shifts that they've never, you know, really encountered before in a real way where they're applying that to the world. And through the private coaching journeys that I do with my clients, we, you know, people go out, they test things out, they come back, we talk about it, they make their own tweaks and alterations on what feels right inside of them. You know, I think spiritual intelligence is all about accessing more of real you, the true you. The you that doesn't have the pleaser or the helper or, you know, part of the tribe. The you that can stand in the truth of yourself mm-hmm. as love.
Right.
And bring that out into the world.
Yeah. It's almost like teaching people how to walk and trust themselves again to run. Ooh, you know what yeah. I mean? It feels almost yeah. like that whole, like, let's rebirth you a little bit. And like, let's just take those early steps over again and really just trust yourself and keep doing that. And then keep learning and then keep bringing it back home and then keep doing more of that. Right. And it's that guiding process because people don't know what it is that they're that they don't know. And so you're able to really help fortify them with a variety of resources and understanding that is out there for them. I think that's brilliant. I know that you do a group work as well. And so I also imagine that that must be a cool experience to witness, not just the individuals having their own moments, but with one another, like, you know, helping and even supporting in that process. That must be really really cool.
Oh, it's very magical. It's very magical. And, you know, when a person has enough courage to stand forward and share openly what's in their heart, it always applies to in the room, right? And it helps down those wall masks that we hide ourselves behind, and it fosters true connection and a sense of belonging and togetherness, you know, which is what happens when you're in that sense of the oneness.
Yeah. But, you know, community is a part of, you know, humanity. And I think that being able to connect with others who are having a similar experience or a similar awakening, it just makes so much sense to share it and to witness it in others as well as a newbie, let's say, or someone who's on an earlier moment or part of the exploration of figuring out, like, you know, what's that and what's this and what is vibration and why is raising it so important and how does that all work out and just the inner workings of a spiritual and an energetic path. So I think that's really, really cool and really magical. Yay.
Yeah, it's pretty magical.
Yeah. I'm so glad we got to chat today. Absolutely.
And me too.
I feel like you and I will have a lot of other conversations because we really appreciate and share a love of this side of living and being.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And being.
And being. So I'm putting it out there for our listeners again. Donna Bond, Original Wisdom is the name of her book, Harness the Power of the Authentic You. We will put all of your contact information and the details about the book in the show notes, and I'll have that on my website as well. I look forward to posting it and drive everyone over to your site so that they can grab and hold of your nuggets of wisdom that you've put up for them. That'll be awesome.
Susan, thank you so much. It's so lovely to be with you, and I just acknowledge you for what you're doing out in the world, opening up hearts and minds to all of the wonderful people who hear your show. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. It's been great. Yay.
That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.